And like we said just a few seconds ago, the winner of this year's Ring of Honor Top Prospect Tournament is Donovan Dijak. And so I say welcome back to the show, Donovan Dijak.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate that.
And congratulations on winning Top Prospect Tournament 2015.
Yes, thank you. It was a blast. I'm kind of taken aback by the whole situation, but I'm taking it in stride and trying to take it one day at a time, you know.
And there is big shoes to fill. Last time you were on the show, we talked about Hansen being last year's winner, and seeing where guys who won Top Prospect went, it's really something good for the future of Donovan Dijak, I guess.
Yeah, this year, which I don't believe was the case with the past 3 years, the winner gets a guaranteed TV title shot. So that is at least a guarantee, you know, pending health and everything like that. Yeah. But so I'm really looking forward to that. But the shoes to fill, I mean, it's with the prior three being Hansen, Taven, and Mike Bennett, who surprisingly all three of us are from New England. So it's kind of just worked out that way, but it's also not surprising at the same time, because the even though, you know, Ring of Honor is an international company, it doesn't surprise me that the guys from New England are representing so well, because there's so much talent in our area of the United States that with the training and the abundance of schools and places to work, then there's no question that, you know, if you're not improving, then, you know, that's from a lack of your own dedication, because the tools are all there in New England.
Okay. And the last 2 years, being Hansen and you, really were, so to say, big guy winners.
Yep.
Which is rather interesting, because the Ring of Honor roster, you really, I do the hand gesture, sticking out, because you are bigger than the actual roster guys. Is that something changing in Ring of Honor or in independent wrestling in general? Because I recognize more and more, so to say, big guys on the independent circuit.
I would say that it's probably we're probably in the midst of it changing right now, because historically places like Ring of Honor have been sort of a retreat for people to get away from the WWE style product.
Yeah.
Which it still is, don't get me wrong. But with the addition of the television show and the international audience, you know, they have different aspects of wrestling that they need to touch upon. So there's still the goal still of Ring of Honor is to provide the best in-ring product as possible, whereas, you know, WWE and TNA have to worry about storylines and promos and aesthetics and things like that, whereas Ring of Honor can focus on solely the in-ring product. That being said, they now have a television show, so they need something visually impressive as well. So through the tryout camps, I don't know this to be a certainty at all, but I would, if I had to guess, I would suspect that that's another added piece to the puzzle, whereas it wasn't maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, the size piece of it, because historically, you know, Ring of Honor and the independents, at least here in America, have been you know, mostly small guys. And that's not to say that they aren't, because they still are mostly small guys. But that being said, there might be a little, you know, more with YouTube and TV, where people want to present that larger than life picture. And the fact of the matter is that Hansen, at least, is still you know, one of the greatest in-ring performers of all time, at least today in the United States. And so to discredit him and say that, you know, he's only there because he's big would be wrong. But the look with the beard and the size is definitely what made people at least pay attention. And then the in-ring product is that's what ends up getting you signed.
Okay. Is that good or bad? The question is silly, but that is changing.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's I think it's a good thing because instead of people making assumptions about you know different wrestling characters and things like that, maybe they're taking a look now. If that makes sense. So
yeah.
So for example, a guy like myself, even 2 years ago when I started, I didn't see myself as having a chance at Ring of Honor. I thought, okay, you know, they're looking for small guys. They're looking for guys who can do all sorts of cool transitions and flips and moves, and they go 100 miles an hour, and I can't do all that stuff. Now, with the television product, they get a chance to look at me and see that not only am I a big guy, but I can actually do a lot of those transitions and flips and things that their viewers like, but I'm doing it in an even bigger sort of package. So it's maybe more impressive in some aspects, maybe less impressive in others, but you know, maybe I cover that with something else. So just the fact that the opportunity is there for them to take a look and realize, okay, you know, this guy can hang with some of our guys, you know, even though he's big and generally speaking, big guys, especially when they're only a couple of years in, you know, don't have those capabilities. Now I'm granted the opportunity to be looked at, and I train with guys who fit that style, and I'm trained by guys who, you know, are parts of that that puzzle that they're putting together. So all in all, I think it's a great opportunity, and I'm certainly doing my best to take advantage of it.
And generally speaking, that's the beauty of professional wrestling, isn't it? That you have those different styles, and that it's not like, so to speak, in MMA, where you just put up weight classes and only guys in that specific weight class can fight each other.
Yes.
But wrestling is the big guy will on 9 days, 9 days out of 10 will defeat the little guy. But on that one day, the little guy will win, and it will look good because it's professional wrestling.
Yep.
And that's, I guess, is the beauty of professional wrestling. Some people out of that bubble, I always say, professional wrestling is in, don't understand.
Right, yeah. It's definitely one of the best parts of pro wrestling is that the drama and the storytelling and the psychology and everything, the little things that I think fans take for granted, but that means so much at the end of the day when someone's really moved by something that they see in the ring.
Yeah. Donovan, we always on the podcast the show with independent wrestling that we created sort of generations, being from the independents and now sort of being in WWE and TNA, going higher up the ranks. First class would be the CM Punks, the Bryan Danielson, the Samoa Joes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe second class would be the Sami Zayns, the Dean Ambrose, the Austin Aries. The current class probably would be the Adam Coles, the Sami Callahans. The generation four guys to come, I guess, would be the Biff Busicks and the UHA Nations.
Okay.
And when there is a next generation, I guess it's already Donovan Dijaks. yeah, you laugh, but is it like that? Do wrestlers see it the same way?
I certainly see it the same way. The issue for... Not the issue, but I guess the goal for me has always been to move up, to sort of advance those as quickly as possible. Because when you mention those groups, age is certainly a part of it. And so you mentioned Daniel Bryan and Punk and Joe. So they all started in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
You know, however, a decade ago or whatever. So they're probably in their early to mid-30s right now. And obviously all of them have had success on television and that international stage. And then the next group was who, like Cole and
Zane Ambrose
Zane
Aries.
Ambrose. Okay, so the guys who were recently on the indies and are now making their way up. So that's kind of a function of what the WWE happens to be looking for right now. And not necessarily with Aries, but he's already had that success in TNA. But those guys have like Mox and Generico when they were on the indies were probably at the same level-ish of CM Punk and Joe. And they just weren't really afforded those same opportunities because of buzz or whatever it happened to be. And now that the developmental system has Triple H looking for indie guys because of the network and things like that, you know, they're afforded that opportunity. So, you know, I'd probably classify them closer to the same area. And then you have Cole and whoever who's had success on television. Now you're talking about guys who are younger than me, basically, because you know, Generico and Mox are the around the same age as me, maybe a little older because they've been around for so long. But you know, I'm 27 years old. I started late, so to say that you know, Adam Cole is, you know, in a generation before me doesn't
Make 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 sense from the definition itself.
right from a so it's obviously correct, you know, former Ring of Honor world champion and everything like that. So he's clearly accomplished way more than I have. That being said, he's like 5 years younger than me. So my goal, and I love Adam Cole, he just gave me a bunch of great feedback on my matches that I had in the Top Prospect tournament, and it was all incredibly helpful. And I'm excited for him to heal his arm back, so maybe he and I can have some matches together. But so when I hear people talk about those generations, it's always been my goal to sort of sounds weird, but I feel like I have to skip a generation, if that makes sense. When you talk about Biff, who trained at my school and who I was actually supposed to see on Monday, because I know he was supposed to be an extra as well, but that all got canceled. So maybe I'll see him tomorrow. I'm not sure. But he and I keep in touch. We see each other all the time. We train together sometimes. I see him at Beyond shows all the time. So I would say that sort of generation, as you call it, with him and Uha Nation, who's I think he's getting signed to WWE. I've heard rumors that that's true, but I'm not 100% sure. So my goal has always been to try to join that generation that guys my age group are more so like in right now themselves, because I didn't have the head start that they did because of my college sports background. You know, I played college sports until I was 22, 23. So then I took 1 year trying to find a full-time job. Now it's 24, you know, and then starting wrestling training. Now I'm 25. And then 2 years in the business. Now I'm up to 27. So, you know, it's weird to say, but the horizon is kind of in sight, you know, because, you know, WWE probably isn't looking at guys past like 33, 34 without that, you know, international experience or whatever it is. I know they just signed Devitt and he's 33, 34, but, you know, he's made such an impact over the past 7, 8 years or whatever it happens to be that he's afforded that opportunity. So for me, you know, I feel like I had to take my advantages, which are, you know, size and look and stuff like that, and try to, you know, fast forward my way through some of the stuff that you know those people had to do to get to where they are today. And the way that I've gone about that is by, you know, working tirelessly, basically, you know, training every single day, training, lifting, working on promos, working on in-ring technique stuff, you know, seeking out the best video to watch. Anything I can do to improve as quickly as possible, I've tried to do. And I'm, you know, and sometimes it takes luck. You know, I had a chance at Evolve. I had a chance at CZW. I had a chance at Chikara, and none of those worked out. I didn't have great matches at any of those places. I happened to put on great matches at Ring of Honor, and now there's an opportunity for me on the table, and I'm only 2 years into my career. So that's the way that the cookie crumbles sometimes, and I have to just try to take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm. And it looks good because being pretty new into Ring of Honor and winning the Top Prospect Tournament, which has been that relevant in the past 3 years or 4 years, so to speak, it's really something. You said big shoes to fill, but I would go beyond that because it's a springboard, so to speak, for bigger things to come.
I hope it is. You know, it's. The opportunity for me, I feel like, is there, and now I have to be able to take advantage of it. The first kind of section of that was completed because I had the top prospect. I knew I was in the tournament, and I had to make the most of the matches and the TV time. And I feel like I accomplished that to a certain extent, and now I have to take the next step of it and succeed at that level too. So for me, it's a series. It's a kind of a gauntlet, so to speak. But I'm excited for the opportunity. There's no question about that.
And we are as well. And Donovan, we from the Wrestling Talk Radio wish you all the best for the future. And we are hoping that on the last time you were here a couple of weeks ago, we said that we are already planning an interview for the next month or so to speak. So you now are on the show even earlier than we thought.
Yep.
But the interview around the time of WrestleMania is still out there somewhere. So then we will see what time brought in between now and then.
Excellent.
And we were looking forward to have you back on the show then.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you for stopping by, and the German fans really dig you, I can say that, and we are looking forward to see more from you in the future.
Awesome. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.